of broken. You may be seated. I have something to tell you today. If you don't already know, you're not going to get through life without being broken. There are going to come some things to you that are going to shatter your life. There are going to be moments in your life when you are going to hurt so deeply, you will wonder if you're going to make it through. There are going to come some nights so dark that it's going to be difficult to see any way out of your situation. Life's just like that. There's going to be some brokenness in life, but Jesus is on the other side of broken. Hallelujah. Every great man in Scripture, and I'm going to list a few of them, knew brokenness. God had blessed Job so very much that he had become the wealthiest man in the East. But something happened in Job's life. God sent brokenness to him. A servant came and said, "Job, all of your camels have been stolen. All of your sheep have been stolen. All of your livestock has been taken away. All of his livelihood was gone. He didn't have any hope of a future as far as his work was concerned, and his business matters were all shattered. He lost his business in just almost an instant. One after the other bringing bad news. And then came the saddest news of all. A servant came and said, "Your children were in a house and a storm came and the house fell in and all of your children perished." You talk about brokenness. That's brokenness. And on the heels of that, his body broke out in boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And he found his way down to the trash heap because that's what he felt like. He picked up some old broken pieces of pottery and started scraping the tops off of his sores to try to get a little bit of relief. His wife walked by and said, "Do you maintain your integrity, Job? Curse God and die." His friends came and stared at him for 7 days before they even opened their mouth. He was broken. He was broken. Amen. And then they began, when they opened their mouth, he wished they had shut up. It was pure condemnation. Friends like that, who needs enemies? I'm saying the man was broken. Amen. And he had some difficulties, and then he started questioning God, and then God started questioning him. Amen. But Job had some determination, didn't he? He said, "Though the skin worm destroy this body, in my flesh I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah. Amen. He had his mind made up. "You may break my body, you may break my spirit, but you'll not take my soul, and you'll not take my faith. I am determined." His mind was made up. Amen. And you know what? On the other side of broken, hallelujah, blessing flooded in. And Job had twice as much as he had in the beginning. And he went out praising God through his situation. Amen. Abraham knew about brokenness. He knew about blessing. Oh, we like blessing. Oh, we like blessing. Bless me, Lord. Amen. We need to learn from David when he didn't say, bless me, but he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. And so he knew about blessing, but God sent brokenness into his life. He said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. Amen. He didn't stay. He didn't stutter. He didn't falter. He got his lad. He got the fire. He got the wood. He got everything together, and they headed to the mountain. I'm telling you, that was a tough climb. That was a long journey. Now, I know Abraham was a man of faith, but I know a little bit about faith too. And sometimes faith is, you know, you battle to have faith. You battle to maintain faith. Faith is not just, it's not just some little feeling that comes. Your faith, the Bible said, is tried. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Your faith is tried. It wasn't that Abraham didn't have faith, but I don't think he was whistling and shouting all the way up the mountain. Amen. I believe he was hanging on to the promises of God. He was believing what God said. God, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to do it, but I need some help here. I believe he was breaking on the inside, but he was doing what God said. Amen. Especially when his young son, with such confidence in his eyes and then his voice, he said, Father, he said, we have the wood, we have the fire. He said, but where's the sacrifice? Amen. I think his voice may have broken a little bit when he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Amen. And when he got there and he turned around, he said, Isaac, I'm sorry, son, but it's you. God said, it's got to be you. I can't hold back anything. It's got to be you, Isaac. Dad, if that's what you say. God's never failed us. He's not going to fail us now. Got up on the altar, bound him, arranged the wood, got the fire ready, raised the knife. Amen, ready to sacrifice. And suddenly something stayed his hand. And the angel said, Abraham, Abraham. Amen. God's provided a sacrifice. Looked over there and there was a ram caught. You talk about some rejoicing about that moment. Hey, that was shouting time. Hallelujah. That was rejoicing time when God came through just in time. And he always does. He never fails. He's always faithful. Amen. David, one of the favorites of the scripture, but he knew brokenness. He knew what it was like to be broken. After his great sin with Bathsheba, his great fall, he said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul in my belly. For my life is spent with grief, my youth with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. And a fear to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind, like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while I took counsel. They took counsel against me. They devised to take away my life. David knew a little bit about brokenness. He'd gone through some things. He'd suffered some consequences of wrongdoing. Amen. And that was what it was. It was God's fault. It was David's fault. Amen. It was what he did. It wasn't what God did. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I'm weak and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they seek my hurt, speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. Brokenness. David knew brokenness. He knew popularity, and he knew what it was like to be shunned. He knew what it was like to be praised, and he knew what it was like to be scorned. He knew what it was like for his friends and even his family to forsake him. He knew what it was like to stand alone. He understood. And then in Psalm 51, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear great joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. David understood some things. Amen. You're going to know some brokenness in your life, but in your brokenness, don't give up. Don't stop. He knew that the same God that would send displeasure and judgment on him was the same God that would cleanse him and restore him and remake him all over again. That's what you can't do, folks. You can't quit. You can't stop. You can't give up. You got to go on. Brokenness will come in your life and in mine. Psalms and the prophets foretold the suffering of Jesus Christ. Was he broken? Almost like no other. Even Isaiah said, I don't know, looking down through the prophetic telescope of time, he saw him. He said his visage, his image, his face, his body, he said it was so distorted that we couldn't recognize him. I don't know if you've ever seen that kind of an image. My brother, some years ago, we was at a restaurant and in a parking lot, and some men came by and put a chain around his neck and drug him out of his car and kicked his face in and stabbed him 14 times and beat him severely and took his money and went away. When I walked into the room, I would not have known him had it not been for his name on the door. His face was so swollen, so misshapen, I didn't even know who I was looking at. And Jesus was beaten like that. They slapped him and beat him until his face was so swollen that you would not have recognized who the man was. His back looked like it was lacerated and been through the meat grinder. The blood was flowing fresh, and the thorns with the on his head and the nails in his hands and the cross on his back. He knew what brokenness was, even to the point finally cried out, and he said, "My God, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? He understood brokenness. But I'm telling you, friend, it didn't stop there. Although he lifted up his voice and said, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commit my spirit." But it didn't end there. 3 days later, brokenness gave way to wholeness. Darkness gave way. Death gave way to eternal life. And the first fruits of the resurrection arose triumphant. He is alive and alive forevermore. Amen. I'm telling you today, friend, hang on the other side of broken. Amen. That's where Jesus is. If you're looking for him on a cross, he's not there. We have one here, but it's empty. He's not up there. If you look in the tomb in Jerusalem, he's not there. Amen. If you look hard enough, you could find the bones of Buddha. If you looked hard enough, you can find the bones of Muhammad. If you look hard enough, you can find the bones of Confucius. But you'll not find the bones or the body of Jesus Christ, because he's resurrected, he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. I see those women going down to the tomb on that resurrection morning, not knowing what they were going to find. Who's going to roll away the stone? Well, don't worry your pretty head. That's already been taken care of. When they got there, the stone was already rolled away. Hallelujah. Amen. They got all excited. The angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen as he said." Amen. They got so excited, they went running back. Mary's still standing there sniffling. "Where is he? Where have you put him?" Amen. About that time, somebody spoke and said, "Mary," she turns around thinking it was a gardener. And she said, "Where have you put him? Just tell me. Amen. I want to go get him." And they said, "Mary." And then she recognized who he was. Hallelujah. You see, he wasn't broken anymore. He wasn't bleeding anymore. He wasn't swollen anymore. He wasn't bruised anymore. He didn't have weakness anymore. He wasn't crying tears anymore. But he stood there in his resurrection glory and his omnipotence, omniscience, his omnipresence, his immutability, his eternality. He stood there as God, deity, manifest in flesh, but glorified. Amen. And when she saw him, woo, and she recognized who it was, no more brokenness. Oh, her feet fled to the city, and she began to cry to the top of her voice, "I have seen him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive." Mary, honey, get a hold of yourself. You're beside yourself. Oh, I'm not beside myself. I saw him. I talked to him. He spoke to me. Amen. His disciples, dare they hope? Their hopes had already been dashed. Their dreams had already been crushed. Dare we hope again? Dare we dream again? But they ran down to the tomb at Mary's word. Sure enough, the stone was rolled away. And John ran inside, and it was empty. It was empty. It was empty. Amen. Nobody there. Amen. My. What a situation. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus is on the other side. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. It's been a long, dark night. I just don't know. It seems like it's hard to just pick one foot up and put it in front of the other. I just can't hardly even maintain my balance. It's just so difficult what I'm going through. But I want you to know He's on the other side. I broke it. When the little lad brought the lunch to Jesus and he took the bread and he took the fish, we like the part where it says he blessed it, but it also says he broke it. And it was broken so that it could be multiplied. I said it was broken so that it could be multiplied. In the brokenness is the multiplication. In the brokenness is the miracle. And that's what we have to understand today. Even though you don't know and you didn't ask for what's happened to you, I'm telling you, on the other side, there's a miracle waiting. And what you have gone through is going to be multiplied. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. On the other side of broken, that's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus is. Amen. And He's waiting for you there. Amen. He's going to walk the Emmaus Road with you. He's going to join you on your journey. He's going to lead you through the valley. He's going to guide you up the mountain. And on the other side of broken, you're going to find Jesus in a measure that you've never known Him. You're going to see Him in ways that you've never known Him before. You're going to experience things that you didn't know existed. Amen. When Paul said, God, please take this thorn from me. God, please take this thorn from me. And the third time, God, please take this thorn from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. There are some thorns He will not remove, but He said, our grace. And in that weakness, my strength. Amen. On the other side of broken, that's where Jesus is. Why don't we join Him at this altar this morning? Bring your brokenness with you. The beautiful thing about Jesus, you don't have to pretend that you're something that you're not. You don't have to put a happy face on your troubles. You don't even have to try to cover your sins. You just bring it all. You just bring it all.
It doesn't bother.
Bring your disappointments. Bring your doubts, bring your fears, bring your sorrows, bring your brokenness, bring it all. Bring it to Jesus, give it to Him. Amen, give it to Him. Amen, He'll take all of that and He'll make a miracle out of it.
There is no storm where Jesus is.